It's now been almost 2 months since Hurricane Sandy slammed into New York and New Jersey, and thousands of people, especially the poor, are still suffering. Congress is trying to hammer out a $60.4 billion relief package. The Senate may vote today. Included in that package would be funds for rebuilding areas devastated by the storm. But environmentalists are urging caution. They say Sandy was fueled by the forces of global climate change, which is now a fact of life. And we can expect more frequent and more powerful storms in the years to come. Mark Dunley of the Green Climate Project says sea levels are predicted to rise 4 feet within the next century, and tidal surges of Sandy's magnitude could hit the city every 3 to 4 years. Speaking with WBAI's Andrea Sears, Dunley says steps need to be taken to prepare for what's to come, but the planning needs to involve everyone.
We have to move things that we can move out of the flood zone, starting with the power plants, like the one on 14th Street that went out. We definitely got to move the sewage treatment plants and wastewater treatment plants. That sort of very much was an unreported disaster from Hurricane Sandy. Maybe, you know, a seawall like they've done in Europe, which is going to cost $10 billion, is a possible solution. Maybe instead of trying to protect all of Lower Manhattan, you have to protect each individual subway station. I think Michael Oppenheimer, who does a lot of climate change work over in Princeton, has talked about a more decentralized approach. But I think those are the type of issues that need to have a real hearing. One of the things that I've complained about was that Schumer and Senator Gillibrand have been pushing real hard to give $1 billion to the Army Corps of Engineers to build dunes and other structures on the barrier islands. One, I don't trust Army Corps of Engineers at all when it comes to water project. But I think there's a real debate, you know, whether dunes are really a solution. Yes, some of the areas on Long Island which allow more large dunes to exist sustain less damage. But are they really a long-term solution? And do we really want to jump and just throw billions of dollars literally at a solution which may wash away in the next big storm? And that's why I think it needs to be a little bit slow and to really allow people to weigh in. There's been dueling press releases by the city council and by the mayor, but so far I've not seen any real effort to allow a whole host of people to step forward. And, you know, it really was Occupy Sandy that did a better job of relief than the mayor did. And I certainly think that there's probably more wisdom in groups like 350.org than there is in the New York City Environmental Department in terms of how you deal with climate change.
What would you say would be the first steps that the city should take in planning for the rebuilding of those areas that were hit by Sandy?
Well, I think, unfortunately, one of the things they really need to do is put a halt or slow down rebuilding in the areas that were just wiped out. That's going to happen again. You know, I was down in Breezy Point, or as close as you're allowed to get to Breezy Point, which has always been a gated, isolated community, and they were just rushing people in to rebuild. Now, I love my home, and I understand the emotional attachment that one has to get back into your home as soon as possible. But barrier islands are not a place you should be allowing development. New York City clearly allowed far too much development in Staten Island, particularly in the areas of filled-in marshlands. It's not going to be safe to just put people back into these places. Climate change doesn't create storms, but climate change makes storms that occur more powerful. And Hurricane Sandy was sort of this perfect storm, and you also got to recognize that climate change means that these storms are just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Climate change is the issue here, and we may not be able to stop or reverse what's happened already, but can we slow it down? What do we need to do to accomplish that?
Unfortunately, you really need the Obama administration to take action. Congress, particularly the House with the control of the Republicans, is not going to allow any climate change action to take place in the foreseeable future. President Obama did not fight very hard for climate change in his first term. He needs to be more aggressive in the second term. EPA, who just lost their head, did take some important steps to deal with carbon emissions. I think that needs to be expanded. I think they need to look to see if they can do a carbon tax. I think we need hard caps on the amount of emissions that can take place. But, you know, you also look at the so-called new math by 350.org and Bill McKibben. During the presidential debate, we heard Obama and Romney argue about who is going to do more drilling in the public lands and in the deep water. We cannot use the fossil fuels we already have. We have to ensure that 80% of the fossil fuels that we already know about are never used. And that's a completely different discussion than we hear coming from the Obama administration or Congress. And I think 350.org's biggest contribution to the whole climate change debate has not been their policy positions. It's been mobilizing the community to demand action. And I think people have to stand up right now and say we're headed in the wrong direction. Certainly we don't need hydrofracking to bring in another fossil fuel. We have to stop what we're already doing. We got to keep carbon limits under 350 parts per million. There's a lot of things that can be done. I don't think Congress in its present makeup has the political will to do it, and that means Obama and the White House has to look for substantial administrative powers to take action.
Mark Dunley is with the Green Climate Project. He spoke with WBAI's Andrea Sears.